The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, I'm Doris Hyde for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Vision News. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from the AFB the results of the Workplace Technology Study, from Diabetes Self-Management, Viona Extended Release Metformin Recall, from Disability Scoop, the IRS raises ABLE savings account limits, from Tech Times, 3D printed human corneas, Tom's Guide announces an Apple fix for the iOS 15 flaw, Spiral of Death reboot. Blind Post has a January issue, and I may have time to address some of those. So let's get started. From the AFB 100, Inclusion Knows No Limits, Workplace Technology Study. The American Foundation for the Blind, AFB, is proud to announce the release of the Workplace Technology Study, Hotlink, the culmination of survey findings from 323 U.S. participants who are blind, visually impaired, or deaf-blind, focus groups, and 25 personal interviews. In this study, employed participants shared their experiences with technology used for hiring and onboarding, required work-related training, and productivity, receipt of workplace accommodations, interactions with information technology, IT, staff, and experiences with telework. Self-employed participants also reported on the methods they use to access technology they needed for their work. The Workplace Technology Study findings reveal that key employee support staff, especially human resources, HR, managers, and IT managers, as well as technology developers, must improve their practice to achieve full inclusion for blind, low vision, and deafblind employees and applicants. The recommendations provide actionable steps derived from the research that outline a path forward. Quote, the findings in the Workplace Technology Study show us that many technology barriers still exist for workers with a visual impairment, despite non-discrimination laws and guidance, end quote, said Stephanie Enyart, E-N-Y-A-R-T, Chief Public Policy and Research Officer. It is our hope that this study will provide a basis for understanding where many current workplace practices and protocols have not met their intended marks. The study can serve as a basis for identifying and addressing gaps to create a more fully inclusive workplace. The Workplace Technology Study was made possible by generous contributions from a diverse group of funders. We want to engage in dialogue about how individuals, organizations, and companies are using the results of the Workplace Technology Study. Use the hashtag, #WTS, to share your experiences and ideas. We are committed to conducting high-quality research related to blindness and low vision and sharing our findings broadly. If you would like to receive information about research opportunities, reports, webinars, and other ways we are sharing our research, please sign up at the hot link. Thank you, the AFB team. From DiabetesSelfManagement.com, new metformin recall follows familiar pattern by Quinn Phillips, PHILLIPS. A new recall of extended-release metformin has been announced by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, FDA, due to concerns about a potentially cancer-causing chemical, with some health experts asking if manufacturing processes need to be improved to avoid such recalls in the first place. The new recall, announced December 28, 2021, affects 33 lots of metformin extended-release tablets, 750 milligrams, distributed by Viona Pharmaceuticals, Inc., that's spelled V-I-O-N-A. As with all recent recalls of extended-release metformin stretching back to 2019, the latest recall is based on out-of-expectation levels of a chemical called N-nitrosodimethylamine, NDMA. NDMA is classified as a probable human carcinogen based on laboratory tests, showing it has the potential to cause growth of cancer cells. There is no indication that the levels of NDMA found in recalled batches of metformin have any immediate health effects, and the recalls are not based on any reported adverse events. Instead, they are simply a precautionary measure to avoid the possibility of future cancer cases due to NDMA exposure. But even though there are no immediate health concerns related to NDMA and metformin, some health experts are pointing out that these recalls should be and can be avoided through better manufacturing practices. A recent article in Forbes by Bruce Y. Lee, MD, a professor of health policy and management at the City University of New York, CUNY, School of Public Health, points out that when contaminants like NDMA make their way into pharmaceuticals, it's usually due to sloppy manufacturing practices. NDMA has also been found in heartburn and blood pressure medications in recent years, prompting recalls of those drugs as well. Dr. Lee writes that as pharmaceutical companies try to find ways to reduce costs in the manufacturing process, something that's especially true for generic drugs like metformin, which is manufactured around the world, the safety and purity of these drugs may suffer. There may be a need for the FDA to better monitor drug manufacturing processes, even in other countries, to ensure that drugs sold in the United States are safe and effective, according to Lee. But of course, pharmaceutical companies oppose further monitoring and regulations, and greater funding for the FDA would be needed to implement them. Single manufacturer affected by new metformin recall. The batch numbers and expiration dates of the Finona Pharmaceuticals metformin affected by the latest recall are available in the FDA's recall announcement. That's a hot link. No other manufacturers are affected by the current recall, so there's no need to look up batch numbers if your metformin doesn't carry a Viona Pharmaceuticals label, which is shown in the recall announcement. If you find out that your metformin is affected by the recall, don't stop taking the drug. Instead, call your doctor or pharmacist to ask about the next steps, which are likely to include finding a suitable replacement from another batch of metformin or from another manufacturer. Viona Pharmaceuticals is also notifying affected customers by email and regular mail and arranging for the return of affected metformin to its recall processor, Eversana Life Science Services. If you have any questions about this process or about the recall in general, you can contact the recall processor as described by the FDA's recall announcement. Want to learn more about metformin? Read What to Know About Metformin, Diabetes Medicine, Metformin, and Metformin, the Unauthorized Biography. A freelance health writer and editor based in Wisconsin, Phillips has a degree from Harvard University. He is a former editorial assistant for diabetes self-management and has years of experience covering diabetes and health-related conditions. Phillips writes on a variety of topics, but is especially interested in the intersection of health and public policy. From DisabilityScoop.com, IRS raises limit for ABLE accounts. For the first time in 4 years, the amount of money that people with disabilities can save without jeopardizing eligibility for government benefits is rising. Starting this month, the Internal Revenue Service said that the federal gift tax exclusion is growing from $15,000 to $16,000 annually. That same cap also applies to contributions to ABLE accounts, a special savings vehicle for people with disabilities. The increase is the first since 2018. It comes as a result of inflation, the IRS said. ABLE accounts, which were created under a 2014 law, allow individuals with disabilities to save up to $100,000 without risking eligibility for Social Security and other government benefits. Medicaid can be retained no matter how much is in the accounts. Interest earned on funds in ABLE accounts is tax-free, and money saved can be used to pay for qualified disability expenses, including education, health care, transportation, and housing. Annual deposits in ABLE accounts are generally limited to the value of the IRS's gift tax exclusion, now $16,000. However, people with disabilities who are employed can also save some of their earnings in the accounts above and beyond the gift tax amount. For those in the continental U.S., that means up to an additional $12,880 this year, according to the ABLE National Resource Center. Alaska residents can save an extra $16,090 in compensation, and that figure is $14,820 in Hawaii, the center said. Currently, ABLE accounts are offered through 47 state programs, many of which are open to people with disabilities no matter where they live. As of September, ISS Market Intelligence reports that there are over 105,000 ABLE accounts open nationwide, containing $937 million in assets. To be eligible for the accounts, individuals must have a disability that onset before age 26. From TechTimes.com, scientists successfully 3D print human corneas. This breakthrough can be the solution for transplant shortage, by Urian B. U-R-I-A-N-B. Scientists have just recently been able to successfully 3D print a human eye. The 3D printed corneas will help with the large spread problem of shortage for transplants. 3D printed human corneas. According to the story by U.S. News, scientists coming from the United Kingdom have been able to successfully 3D print human corneas for the very first time. Corneas are the outermost layer of a human eye and are very important for focusing vision. Sadly, almost 5 million people suffer total blindness due to scarring in the cornea caused by lacerations, burns, abrasion, or disease, as per researchers at Newcastle University. Up to 10 million people around the world require surgery to stop corneal blindness from diseases like trachoma, a particularly infectious eye disease, which has led to a severe shortage when it comes to corneas that are available for transplant. Scientists on corneal transplants. As per Europe PMC, scientists announced the development in a press release. To add, they said that corneal transplant constitutes one of the leading treatments for severe cases of loss of corneal function. The scientists noted that the successful 3D printing of one's human cornea could be used someday to ensure an unlimited supply of corneas will be made available. Researchers from the university worked by mixing stem cells from a healthy donor cornea along with alginate and collagen to create a printable solution for the 3D printer. Scientists developed BioInk. The researchers on the project called the solution BioInk, which had successfully printed out in concentric circles shaping a cornea just under 10 minutes. The researchers were able to see the cells grow. The professor of tissue engineering at the university and lead researcher, Che Cannon, that's C-H-E-C-A-N-N-O-N, noted that many people have been chasing the ideal BioInk to accomplish the process. The professor explained that the unique gel would help keep the corneal stem cells alive as a matter that remains stiff enough to retain its shape while also being soft enough to squeeze out of the printer's nozzle. Printed human corneas. Aside from accomplishing the printed human cornea, scientists have also shown that they are indeed capable of building a cornea to match a patient's unique specifications. With that, by taking dimensions directly from a patient's cornea scans themselves, scientists will be able to use data to print a cornea matching both its shape and size. Cannon noted in the release that the printed corneas still need further testing and that it will be a few years before they will be usable for transplant. However, successful printing has shown that it is feasible to print corneas through coordinates taken from a patient's eye to help combat the global shortage. Related article, MIND, Emotional Health Platform, raises $3.5 million funding. Here's how this site can help you. That's a hot link. This article is owned by Tech Times, written by Urian B., copyright 2021, techtimes.com. From TomsGuide.com, iOS 15 flaw could send iPhones into reboot spiral of death, and Apple finally has a fix, by Paul Wagenseel, published about 24 hours ago. That would be the 12th. Wagenseel is spelled W-A-G-E-N-S-E-I-L. Updated with the release of the iOS 15.2.1 update designed to fix this flaw. An annoying bug that could send an iPhone or iPad into a seemingly endless boot loop of death using Apple's Home app has been disclosed. The researcher who found it claims Apple doesn't care enough about the flaw to fix it quickly. I believe this bug is being handled inappropriately as it poses a serious risk to users, and many months have passed without a comprehensive fix, wrote security researcher Trevor Spiniolis in a PDF posted online earlier this month. That's Trevor Spiniolis, spelled S-P-I-N-I-O-L-A-S. The public should be aware of this vulnerability and how to prevent it from being exploited rather than being kept in the dark. We're not so sure how much of a security risk this flaw, which Spiniolis calls door lock, actually poses, though it may appear that your iPhone is hopelessly bricked without possibility of recovery. There are ways to rescue your iPhone, which we'll discuss below. But iPhone and iPad users should take steps to protect themselves against pranksters and trolls who might exploit the flaw for their own amusement. We've also sent a request to Apple for comment on the issue, and we will update this story when we get a reply. I think I will read the update after I finish this article. DoorLock. What's in a name? According to Spiniellis, the bug is triggered when a very long name, we're talking hundreds of thousands of characters, is assigned to a device on a local HomeKit network. Apple's implementation of smart home networking. Any iOS device linked to the network can arbitrarily change a device name. When the name of a HomeKit device is changed to a large string, 500,000 characters in testing, any device with an affected iOS version installed that loads the string will be disrupted even after rebooting, Spiniellis wrote in a blog post. There's a hot link for that. Somehow, probably because very long names might overflow a memory allocation, this causes the Home app on iOS devices linked to the HomeKit network to crash, and to keep crashing until the troublesome device is renamed. Tom's Guide has not tried to replicate any of these issues, so we can't confirm they always work. Even worse, says Spiniellis, if an iOS device has the Home app enabled in the Control Center, the swipe-down menu you access from an iPhone's main screen, then the iOS device will freeze up and become unresponsive. Rebooting the device won't help, as the Home app will be loaded before the user can get to the settings screen to remove Home from the Control Center. Even doing a full restore, which wipes the user data on the phone, will resolve matters only until the user logs in to their iCloud account. Restoring a device and signing back into the iCloud account linked to the HomeKit device will again trigger the bug, wrote Spiniellis. Recent versions of iOS all affected. The flaw affects at least iOS 14.7 and 14.8, Spiniellis wrote, and likely all versions of iOS 14. Tom's Guide suspects all versions of iOS that support HomeKit, dating back to iOS 8, may be susceptible. Beginning with iOS 15, or maybe the 15.1 update, Spiniellis wrote, both of which were released after he disclosed the bug to Apple, users were prevented from giving HomeKit devices very long names. However, iOS 15 devices will still crash or freeze up, as described above, if they join HomeKit networks on which such devices are present. Spiniellis says it's possible for attackers to invite iOS device users to join malicious HomeKit networks, or to change the names of devices on HomeKit networks that they've already joined. He even worries that this could lead to ransomware-like attacks on iOS devices, in which attackers could hold devices hostage until a ransom is paid, although we think that's unlikely. As Sophos Paul Ducklin, D-U-C-K-L-I-M, wrote in a blog post of his own last week, the good news is that the bug doesn't let attackers spy on your phone or your HomeKit devices, steal data such as passwords or personal messages, install malware, rack up fraudulent online charges, or mess with your network. Spiniellis says he told Apple about this flaw on August 10, 2021, but that the company keeps pushing back the date of a fix so that it's now, quote, early 2022, end quote. Again, we've asked Apple for clarification. How to get out of a boot loop caused by the DoorLock flaw. If you find your iOS device freezing up due to this flaw, and we think that's very unlikely, then Spiniellis says you need to perform a system restore process that will fully erase all the user data on your iPhone or iPad. This is best done when tethered via a USB cable to a Mac or PC, but here's how to do an iOS system restore without a computer at a hot link. However, don't sign into your iCloud account when the iOS device prompts you to, says Spiniellis. Instead, wait until the iPhone or iPad is fully set up locally, and then sign into iCloud from the settings menu and disable the switch labeled Home immediately. Spiniellis doesn't address another possible way out. If you have HomeKit and the Home app set up on your Mac, available in macOS 10.14 Mojave and later, then you might be able to just rename the troublesome devices directly from your Mac without needing to perform a factory restore process on your iOS devices. That's assuming there's no flaw similar to this one in the Mac version of the Home app. How to avoid getting snagged by the DoorLock flaw? Fortunately, it's very easy to make sure you are not affected by any possible, however unlikely, attacks that exploit this flaw. As Sophos Ducklin explains, the first steps are to not let anyone you don't live with join your HomeKit network, and not to join anyone else's HomeKit network even if they invite you. Really, that's just common sense. To make sure you're never trapped in a HomeKit boot loop, Ducklin recommends preemptively removing Home from your iOS device's control centers, which you can do in Settings, Control Center, Customize Controls. Finally, and this is something all iOS users should do, regularly back up your devices to your Mac or PC of choice, so that all your user data can be accessed without having to reach out to iCloud. Update: Apple releases iOS update to fix this flaw. On Wednesday, January 12th, Apple quietly released iOS 15.2.1 and iPad OS 15.2.1 to patch this vulnerability. We haven't had a chance to test the efficacy of the patch ourselves, but Apple described it the update thus: a resource exhaustion issue was addressed with improved input validation. He added that the flaw's impact was that processing a maliciously crafted HomeKit accessory name may cause a denial of service. In case there was any doubt which flaw was being fixed, credit was given to Spiniolis for its discovery. The flaw was also assigned the catalog number CVE-2022-22558. HomeKit users should be grateful for Spiniolis for making a stink about this situation and getting it resolved. Here is the update posted at 8 a.m. on the 13th. iOS 15.2.1 fixes critical flaw. Update your iPhone now. By Roland Moore Collier. MOORE-COLYER. If you have a recent iPhone or iPad, then you'll want to update it to the newly released iOS 15.2.1 and iPad iOS 15.2.1, as this update fixes a nasty security flaw that could send your iPhone into a reboot spiral of death. This bug was discovered by security researcher Trevor Spiniolis at the start of January and involved Apple's HomeKit service, which provides the software interface between iPhones and iPads and some of the best smart home devices. The vulnerability could allow hackers to set up a HomeKit-compatible device with a very long name, some 500,000 characters in length, which would then trigger an iOS or iPadOS device to repeatedly crash when trying to connect to it. That's just ultimately a factory reset would be needed and thus result in data loss. Spiniolis suggested this bug could be used by hackers to perform ransomware attacks, forcing victims to part with money or lose access to their iOS or iPadOS data. But with iOS and iPadOS 15.2.1, the ability to put in excessively long HomeKit device names has been curtailed, and thus the bug has been squashed. So if you've yet to do it, we very much recommend you to update to the latest version of iOS and iPadOS, as device running versions dating back to iOS 14.7 are vulnerable to this exploit. And as ever, we suggest being cautious about the networks you connect your devices to. If an unknown user or device asks for permission to connect to your phone, tablet, or laptop, then make sure you know it's not malicious. We'd advise treating such situations with extreme caution until you know you're connected to a trusted device or network. Roland Moore Collier is the UK editor at Tom's Guide, with a focus on news, features, and opinion articles. He often writes about gaming, phones, laptops, and other bits of hardware. He's also got an interest in cars. When not at his desk, Roland can be found wandering around London, often with a look of curiosity on his face. Highlights from the January Blind Post include Eyes on Success Shows and Podcasts, episode 2153, Behind the Scenes at Eyes on Success, aired December 29, 2021. There are many steps that go into hosting and producing a successful podcast. This week, hosts Nancy and Peter Torpy walk listeners through the process that they follow in putting each episode of Eyes on Success together, from deciding on topics and people to interview, through the distribution of episodes to listeners around the world. You'll hear it all. Episode 2151, The Intracortical Visual Prosthesis Project, aired December 15, 2021. The goal of the Intracortical Visual Prosthesis, ICVP, project is to develop a device and system that will compensate for blindness by directly stimulating the visual centers within the brain. Hosts Nancy and Peter Torby talk with principal investigators Philip Troik, T-R-O-Y-K, and Frank Lane about how the system works and their search for research volunteers. You can also subscribe to Eyes on Success on our new YouTube channel at https://www.youtube.com/c/eyesonsuccess with hosts Peter and Nancy Torpy, no spaces. To listen to other episodes from our searchable archive of over 500, go to www.eyesonsuccess.net. You can subscribe to the podcast or listen to your smart home device by saying play the Eyes on Success podcasts. Get paid for your opinion. Patients 16 and over and caregivers, family and friends, of any disability, disorder, syndrome, disease, or condition are provided an opportunity to voice their opinions through surveys and interviews to improve medical products and services. Why sign up with Rare Patient Voice? Who knows better than you about your journey and experiences? We connect you with researchers who are developing products and services which can help you and others with your condition. These researchers need patient input so that they develop products and services that have a meaningful impact on patients' lives. Over the past 7 years, Rare Patient Voice has paid patients over $6 million. How will I be paid? You will earn $100 per hour for participating in studies. We pay by check to ensure patients can use their compensation any way they wish. Sign up today at https://rarepatientvoice.com/tgalanos/. Do you have a business or job opportunity that the Blind Post readers would like to know about? Email foodlady@theblindpost.com, and I will let you know the cost and if it is suitable for the next issue. Now 75 words or less are free. There is a recipe for paleo chocolate muffins, gluten-free, grain-free, dairy-free, no refined sugars. Prep time 10 minutes, total time 33 minutes, servings 12. Ingredients, 2 cups almond flour, 1/2 cup cocoa powder, 1/2 cup honey, or maple syrup, 2 eggs, 1 cup unsweetened applesauce, 1/2 cup servings in snack packs. I use those. Teaspoon baking soda, 1/2 teaspoon baking powder, 1/4 teaspoon of salt, 1/4 teaspoon of cinnamon, 1 teaspoon of pure vanilla, 1/8 teaspoon pure almond extract. Instructions. Preheat oven to 350 degrees. In a large bowl, add the wet ingredients first, eggs, applesauce, pure vanilla extract, pure almond extract, and honey, and stir together until fully combined. Then add the dry ingredients, almond flour, baking soda, gluten-free baking powder, salt, cinnamon, and cocoa powder. Mix until fully combined. Scoop batter into a lined muffin pan. The batter will be thick. I like to use an ice cream scoop. Bake for 23 to 26 minutes. Please watch your oven because all ovens are different. Remove and check centers with a toothpick to see if they're done. Add chocolate chips to the top of hot muffins, optional. Allow muffins to cool before serving. Store in an airtight container. And with that, I've run out of time for today's episode of Vision News. Be sure to listen next week. I hope you enjoyed it. I'm Doris Hyde reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Vision News is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.